And most people that, if you don't, they don't have adequate resources when they get home, they get frustrated and they get mad and they go back to what they know. So Re-Inch is about getting the people, the men and women, the appropriate resources they need, contacting them with the right agency that can help them navigate their resources. And so ultimately what we try to do with the Re-Entry Council is to get people to say, hey, you got to make re-entry a lifestyle.
Resources for individuals who are leaving prison can be hard to access, and in some cases, what resources there are might not be known to the person who is coming home. This is Random Acts of Knowledge, presented by Heartland Community College. I'm your host, Steve Fast. Today, we're speaking with a guest who is working to connect people with resources that will help them reintegrate after incarceration. And in our discussion, the important part that mental health plays in preventing recidivism.
My name is Toy Beasley, and I currently work for an organization called the Illinois Coalition to End Permanent Punishment. I'm the Central Illinois Regional Coordinator. I'm also the president of the McLean County Reentry Council. And I'm also a person that's been impacted by the criminal justice system.
Well, first off, I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about what you mean and what the organization means by permanent punishment. For those that don't have a lot of experience with what we're talking about today, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Permanent punishment is our laws that's on the books that keep people with criminal backgrounds away from employment, jobs, housing opportunities, grant opportunities, business loans, long after their sentence. So a person can come home from prison for 5, 10, 15 years, and they still face barriers when it comes to employment, housing, business loans, and things like that. So they turn into permanent punishment long after their sentence.
So when you talk about reentry for folks that had been incarcerated, what supports are there for them to make that transition?
So let me tell you a little bit about why we started the McLean County Reentry Council. So our goal for reentry is to meet people before they leave. I'm a big believer, as a person that's been formerly incarcerated, that you have to start the reentry before they leave. So what we started doing here in McLean County is start sending in a resource guide for people that in corrections and in on the county side with resources, as in, you know, employers that are family friendly, landlords that are family friendly, social service agencies that are family friendly. There are a lot of social service agencies, and there are a lot of employers, there are a lot of landlords that do not think highly of people that have a past or just coming home from prison. So what reentry would do would allow people with this reentry process with the McLean County Reentry will allow a person to get resources before they leave, so they can get a head start on what's in their community. I truly believe that if a person knows what resources are available to them before they leave, that can help reduce recidivism. Because me, as a person being incarcerated, when I was going through the system 20-some years ago, I didn't have that access to resources. I had to wait till I get home. And most people that, if you don't, they don't have adequate resources when they get home, they get frustrated and they get mad and they go back to what they know. So Re-Inch is about getting the people, the men and women, the appropriate resources they need, contacting them with the right agency that can help them navigate their resources. And so ultimately what we try to do with the Re-Entry Council is to get people to say, hey, you got to make re-entry a lifestyle. And how you make re-entry a lifestyle is bringing a whole holistic approach, as in not only just re-entry, but AANA, church. All those things collaborate of a person making a whole holistic approach to a reentry.
Could you talk a little bit about how your personal experience led you to what you do now and to be a part of helping others through your profession and through all of your work to advocate for a better environment for folks that have been formerly incarcerated?
So for me, is that growing up in life, I was brought up in a decent home, but I faced childhood trauma and untreated trauma. And so what that led me to is facing that trauma growing up in life, because the home I grew up in, they never talked about, you know, seeing a psychologist, seeing a psychiatrist. You know, the culture I grew up in is say, go to church, believe God, prayer, which those are great things. But I needed counseling. I needed to see the psychiatrist. So what led me in prison is my childhood trauma that led into drugs and alcohol. You know, I experienced a lot of different drugs. Cocaine was mainly my primary drug of choice, what really got me in trouble. And since I didn't seek any help. Well, I did seek help through treatment, through outpatient, inpatient, but still it left me in prison because of the childhood trauma I faced that I didn't know how to address prior to going to prison, which led me to prison, was my drug and alcohol use.
So I know that you are a certified drug and alcohol counselor. And when it comes to supporting folks through reentry, what role does that play? Obviously, not everyone who has been incarcerated has experience with addiction, but a lot do. And that, as you say, might play into somebody using drugs and alcohol in a way that unrecognized issues in the past that haven't been treated might lead them, as you say, to recidivism or at least to behavior that's not going to help them in life. Can you talk a little bit about the role that the community and individuals can play in helping folks with drug and alcohol counseling programs after they've been released?
Absolutely. So let's piggyback a little bit. I started my career out at Chestnut Health Systems as a detox counselor, and then I was a counselor. And then I went to go work for an agency called TAS, which is Treatment Alternatives for Safer Communities, where I did case management there and I did a lot of reentry work. One of the things I want to say, what I talked about early, is when people come home from prison, we try to link them up with a whole holistic approach. For example, I talked about this. So a person that's coming home from prison, we got to get them to address not only their substance abuse, but their mental health. A lot of people that have went to prison, they don't have any social skills. So we try to connect them with mentors to help build their social skills. A lot of them came home from prison, never had interviews, never filled out a job application, never completed a resume. So we try to connect them with like CareerLink, places like that, to bring those skills to them. A lot of people that don't have those skills, when they come home, they get turned away. Like I said earlier, they go back. And so what we try to do is as in reentry, is to point them in that right direction. And there may be some agencies out there that may not be a good fit. And so that's how we work with the Reentry Council. That's why we connect with a lot of different resources. So, I know when I came home from prison, certain resources didn't work for me. So I connected with someone else. But thank God I just didn't go back. But most people, when they come home and they don't have the correct resources connecting with those particular agencies, they go back to what they know. So bringing a whole holistic approach to reentry that can address mental health, substance abuse, employment, job training, financial literacy are important things when they come home.
I know the mental health services have been in the news for the last several years in McLean County and across Illinois. I think there's a concern that there's sort of a lack of mental health services for folks. Can you talk a little bit about the environment of what is and isn't available for mental health support for any members of the community that might not have those resources through, say, their medical insurance or employment or something of that sort?
Absolutely. Mental health has always been a barrier, but it's getting better. So connecting people with mental health counseling, I don't think it was a totally big issue like it was before. It still could be an issue. One of the biggest issues is getting them to see a psychiatrist. Sometimes to see a psychiatrist, it may be 6 months to see a psychiatrist. And the reason why I say that, because most men that have dealt with mental health issues when they're in corrections, whether it's on the county side or the state side, is they come home with a certain amount of medication to help treat some of the symptoms that they went through prior to that. And so most of the times for individuals to get medication, they have to see a psychiatrist. And so seeing a psychiatrist has always been a big barrier. I do know recently, just doing the work in the community with the Reentry Council, there has been an agency now does walk-ins for mental health at a local place here called Gateway Foundation, which they just started out here on Hersey Avenue. They actually do walk-ins for mental health, for assessments at least, getting in to get an assessment. And then that process depends on the need of that person. So the severity of a people's mental health is how they weigh things now. So they figure that, hey, even though you come and saying, hey, I got these mental health, they go by the severity on how what place you in to see someone.
I know that that is a real problem as well, because especially with medication, a lot of that puts the onus on the patient to make sure that they're taking their medication, that they're making sure that they have access to get the medication refilled, that they're doing it in the proper timing, just with any medication. That can be a struggle for folks. How important is a network of support service in that way to help people with maintaining the proper mental health techniques and the proper mental health treatment?
Like I said, it all depends on what's available. Like I said earlier, I think that more and more mental health services are available than before. It's just all depends on the severity. But what I will also point out is that it also depends on how transparent that person is. That person may be experiencing some mental health issues, but they have trust issues. And so if they have trust issues, you can't get them to open up about what may have happened to them growing up in life. I always say this: a person just didn't wake up 2 or 3 days ago, a week ago, and saying that they was going to be in prison. Most of the people that get locked up or deal with substance abuse issues or have mental health issues, they have goals, they have aspirations. Something happened. And so the things that happen to them, most people, if they don't trust you, they're not going to open up. So it's important for that therapist or that counselor or that psychiatrist to build a rapport with that person before that person can be able to open up. So because if they don't open up and talk to them, you're not helping them. It's just putting a band-aid on the issue. So that connection of building a rapport is so important when it comes to the mental health field.
So at Heartland Community College, a few years ago, we started a recovery support specialist program. Now, this deals with recovery, and it is kind of a unique program in that it fills a gap in our community for folks that they're not psychologists, they're not psychiatrists, but they are there to help people with support for services. And I think that probably overlaps a little bit with what you've done with your certifications. And I wonder if you can talk about that role of a recovery support specialist. And many of those folks are in recovery themselves. They've gone through it. They've been there. They've had their own experience. How important is that in helping folks maintain recovery to have somebody there that has had a personal experience or been very close to that situation?
It's very important. That's big. I tell people all the time, early on in my recovery, working for Chestnut Health System was big for me because I was around people. Even though I went to AANA, I was around recovery people all the time. Another aspect is a person that's going through that program. It seemed like a similar program that I went through back in 04. I went through the DAC program, which is the Drug and Alcohol Counseling Training at ICC. And a person with lived experience going in this field and working with people that are rather in an active addiction can play a major role in helping that person that's going through their early stages in their recovery. And also, too, it can keep a reminder of a person that went through your program with a program I went through to say, hey, this is still real. And so it will actually keep inspiring them to keep doing the work.
What's the right personality and the right drive of somebody who might be interested in entering into this sort of program? What sort of folks do you think are best suited to becoming a recovery support professional?
Anyone that has a desire to make change. So I would say anybody that are willing to help somebody, because you got people that will get into that your program or the program I went through for all the wrong reasons. But ultimately, that a person that has a caring heart, a person that I call a go-getter, that really can help push people to get the things they need to push themselves through. So yeah, those are combination of a lot of different things. A person that is spiritual, that's important. Because when I use that word spiritual, I like to be very careful because people think you're talking about a certain, God, but it's really not. But a person that's really spiritual can be a positive influence in this field.
At Heartland, we have a broad spectrum of students, and I know that there are those who are facing recovery who might want to support their own recovery, but also help others. What can they do to take a role to help others, even if it isn't as a career? What advice might you have for them?
I would say get involved in their community. I know that's broad. So, whoever they're connected to in the community, whether it's a local church, whether it's local AANA, whether it's a local social service agency, get involved in their community. I tell people that was one of the biggest things that early on in my recovery that kept me straight is I got involved with my community. And so I would suggest that they get involved in a community of those things I name, and it could be more. It could be, some students may be part of a sorority or fraternity, or Get involved in the community, volunteer work. You know, all those things are important for a person that is struggling in recovery or early stages of recovery. Get involved in your community. And there's a lot of things that they can get involved in to help them navigate whatever things they may be going through, if that helped.
So one final thing, Toy, before we let you go, can you direct folks that might be listening to what resources are available here in McLean County especially, but also if you know in the outlying areas, Livingston, Logan, in central Illinois, for folks that are seeking more information about this and might need to connect with some of the services that are available?
Yes, yeah, so they can go on our website at the McLeanCountyReentry.org. They could get on there and click and get a copy of our resource guide, which has the resources all over McLean County. And we're constantly updating them on a weekly, monthly basis so they can go there. If they want to find anything out about how to get their records sealed or expunged, they can go to our website at Illinois Coalition. It's called NPP.org for short. NPP.org for short. Click on our link tree. And they can get information on upcoming expungement summits. They can get information on how to get involved in the work we're doing here in McLean County when it comes to fully free Blono. So there's a lot of things they can get involved there. So to get a resource guide about resources in the community, McLeanCountyReentry.org, or they can go on information about getting a record sealed or expunged, or information about impermanent punishment at npp.org.
So I thanks so much for joining us today, talking a little bit about your journey, about what's available here in McLean County, about this very important issue. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. Anytime, just let me know.
Toy Beasley is the Central Illinois Regional Coordinator for the Illinois Coalition to End Permanent Punishments. He is also president of the Illinois Reentry Council and speaks on issues affecting those impacted by the criminal justice system. He spoke to us today about the barriers facing individuals who were formerly incarcerated, the availability of community support, and the role of mental health counseling. If you're interested in other interviews about the criminal justice system, mental health support, or other topics, subscribe to Random Acts of Knowledge on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you found this episode. Thanks for listening.